Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Inner Sight. Inner Sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So stay with us, and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our theme for today is life and death. And before we get into the show, I just want to mention that we have a nice experience for you. I think it'll be very enlightening, and it's a tape cassette. It goes on for about 60 minutes. And the title of the tape cassette is Near-Death Experiences, and I'll talk in greater detail about that later on the show, letting you know a little bit about what it's what it tells and what it says, and also how you can order that that tape. Now, all of the work of Lucis Trust comes from Alice Bailey. Alice Bailey is the founder of Lucis Trust, and she wrote 24 volumes of spiritual literature, and I more or less look at it as spiritual philosophy. And all of the work, all the dialogue that you hear emanates from the works of Alice Bailey, as does the following thought, by the way. Death is only an interlude in a life of steadily accumulating experience. It marks a definite transition from one state of consciousness into another. Well, I think that's a wonderful thought, because can you imagine how free we would be, free from fear, that we would be if we could eliminate our fear of death? And according to this thought by Alice Bailey, there really is no death. This view of death is quite different from the common view that death is a complete and total end to life. What does Alice Bailey mean by accumulating experience?
I think she's referring to the building up of karma, both good and bad, that accumulates from life to life if you believe in the doctrine of rebirth or reincarnation. And I think more and more people do, not only in the East where it originated, but in the West, because wasn't it George Gallup's organization that has done a survey of American people's views on reincarnation and have found that a huge percentage, well over half the people, believe that we live again, we are reborn. This accumulation of experience is what happens as the soul incarnates and then discards the body and then returns to birth repeatedly. We are born and die and are born again over and over again. We're experts at it without knowing it. We're absolute experts at the process of birth and death. But for some mysterious reason, there's a forgetting, so that most people don't carry over that memory of having lived before. Probably there's some very benign purpose in that it focuses our attention wholly on the present, and it makes us give this particular lifetime our fullest and best effort, and that's probably right and good. But death in the spiritual sense is just an interlude between lives, and it's said that at the time of death, the soul makes a review of its life and stores up a few significant experiences. If we thought about storing up treasures for the soul's purpose rather than storing up treasures to bequeath to our children, like material wealth, what a difference it would make in how we go about living our lives. We think we want to leave behind a great deal of wealth, but there's the spiritual wealth that we leave behind too, and actually that we carry with us into the next lifetime.
Yeah, it's as you said once before, we can't, the old saying, we can't take it with us, but in fact, we do take our experiences with us.
We drag them along, you might say.
<That's right. laughs> And they become the, some of those experiences, I think, become the basis for the next life, because they become the foundation for the next experience and the next
golden
life.
Golden block, I guess.
And I think that's the whole purpose. We wouldn't have the intelligence that we have today, most of us, if it weren't something that we had gained in the past, in the previous lifetimes. And I think that's, and this is clarified in the writings of Alice Bailey, this is one of the reasons why we have genius, mm-hmm. geniuses. They are, in fact, a long life of accumulated experience along a particular line of study, like a genius in mathematics mm-hmm. or in music. Or in, you know, playing the violin, that we have these prodigies that suddenly appear on the scene at age 5, and they've got all this experience. They pick up this violin as if they were, you know, they're old hands at it, and that's exactly true. Mm-hmm. They brought over that old experience from previous lifetimes, and it's been accumulating, and they build on it with each new life.
What an interesting thought to think of each of us in the process of perfecting certain treasures, certain gifts to the world through our experience in each lifetime. There's actually an evening review technique along this line. The evening review is what many people do before they go to sleep at night. They look back upon their day and they trace effects, events, back to originating causes that set those events in motion. It's a way of taking an account and marking the most significant aspects of the day. It's also said what the soul does at the end of a life. It makes a lifetime review. You know how people that have almost died, people that were parachuting and their parachute didn't open and they say, my life passed before my eyes? Apparently that happens to everyone at the moment of death. They review their life. Well, you can review your day, and there's a technique suggested that you look for an element of beauty in your life that day. Ask yourself, what beauty came into my life today? If you look for that and try to identify it, you might be surprised at how much beauty there is, even in the midst of a very routine day. There was an element of beauty.
Yeah, and it's these lovely moments and very significant moments that happen in our lifetimes that are registered on the, you know, the records of the soul, and those are the ones that we take with us.
I suppose the soul can't store them up if we don't pay attention to them, because we are the soul. And so our taking note of these events, these treasures, is a way of anchoring them for mm-hmm. posterity.
A soul has a plan for each life. And, in fact, it plans, as I understand, it plans ahead several lives. So it knows which of these experiences to build on, because it uses each of these little experiences to provide the foundation for the next. And if it fits in with the plans of the soul, then everything is on course. And so it does matter how we conduct our lives, because these little experiences that we go through tend to be very significant.
It's an interesting idea about genius. Am I correct in thinking that perhaps a Mozart who was playing symphonies, I think, at 3 years old, that might be an example of what you're talking about?
Yeah, Mozart's a good example of that genius, of that. He's been through that before many times.
So his genius really came from several lifetimes.
I would say
so. Interesting.
Yeah.
What do we mean by ageless wisdom? And also, what does the ageless wisdom say happens after death?
The ageless wisdom is that body of spiritual teaching that has been with humanity from the dawn of time, even before recorded history. This teaching was passed on from generation to generation, always in a form that was suitable to the time. And that teaching has continued to be available to humanity even up to present times. It traces back, I think the earliest written record was found in the ancient Vedas of early India, which form the fundamental aspect of Hinduism. And the Upanishads, which I believe are the most esoteric, most rarefied elements of that teaching. But it runs through all the world's religions. There is this thread of gold, this continuity that links all religions, but at the same time transcends them. And that's what is known collectively as the ageless wisdom. The ageless wisdom says a great deal about what happens after death. From the writings of Alice Bailey, there is a compilation that we published about 15 years ago of extracts taken from all her 24 books on the process of death. It's called A Compilation on Death. And if people call for a packet of information, they'll receive a book list and could order this book if they like.
It's called Death, The Great Adventure.
Oh, yeah. A compilation on death. Right. Wrong. There's a compilation on sex. And Death, The Great Adventure, or
the
Sex, The Great Adventure.
Well,
okay,
see,
I get my titles
mixed.
Look
forward to now.
Yeah. What does the ageless wisdom say happens after death? Well, it's a process that has many stages and is progressive. Just because you've died, say, yesterday, doesn't mean that that's your final state after death. It continues to develop, as I understand, as the soul cuts its links with the various bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And moves into more abstracted states of being. I feel kind of strange talking about it because it's so mysterious, but you can give it a shot.
Well, all I remember is from what I read in the books here of Alice Bailey, and she's laid it out quite a lot of detail about what happens. And one of the things is what we've mentioned just previously about there is this life review that happens. And in fact, in this, one of these people on this tape that we're offering on the near-death experiences mentions she had a life review, and she described it as like a movie,
mm-hmm.
a movie
like a
reel,
reel. Mm-hmm.
But going very fast.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that one encounters. And then one is the whole life is laid out in front of them like a map. And then also there we mentioned about these experiences that form the basis for the next life. And the soul chooses three very prominent experiences, and those form the basis for the physical life, for the emotional life, and for the what they call the etheric body, or that will form the basis for the form life, really.
But what about the mind? Isn't that one of the three experiences the essence of the mind in the future life? No?
Could be included in that, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But specifically, it's those three experience, those three permanent experiences, they're called three seeds or germs of the future.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
everything else is forgotten, I think.
Right. All the minor points, it kind of get...
Quite a blessing.
Yeah. They don't carry all of that baggage with you. It's just the major things that the soul wants to build on,
mm-hmm.
which fit into the plans of the soul for the next life. And then also there's one other thing that one runs into. And this depends on where one's consciousness lies, but you tend to run into the those that have passed over, your friends and your loved ones might be there to greet you. So that's also part of the after-death experience.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight, and our topic for today is life and death. And when we started the show, I mentioned a 60-minute tape cassette. The title of it is Near-Death Experiences, and it really confirms, or really underscores, rather, a lot of what Sarah and Dale are saying today about life and death. I found it a fascinating tape. I've listened to it 3 times, and I may listen to it again. But today, it's such an unusual age that we're living in because there's so much medical technology. People have died, and then they've been revived, and they're having experiences that were unheard of 100 years ago. And you can hear about some of those experiences on this tape cassette called, title it was Near-Death Experiences. And also, with that tape, this is actually your chance to contribute to our work. And this time, when you contribute, we'll just do whatever contribution that you feel that you can make. But when you make your contribution this time, we'll be happy to send out to you this 60-minute tape that we're talking about. The title of it, once again, ask for or mention in your letter to us the title of the tape. It's called Near-Death Experiences. You can send your donations. Make sure you have a pen. You can send your donations to Lucis Trust. That's L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Once again, that's Lucis Trust, L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And for those people who haven't donated before, this is your chance to contribute to our work. And this time, when you contribute, we'll send you that 60-minute tape, the title of it, Near-Death Experiences. And also, if you'd like the general package of information describing who we are, what we're about, how to make contact with us, a description of the various meetings that we have, you can call for that general package of information on our toll-free number, 1-866-695-8247. That's 1-866-695-8247. 8247. The easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Who or what controls the time of death? I can't help but remember Emily Dickinson's poem on death. I could not stop for death, so death stopped for me, meaning that she had some unfinished business, but death stopped for her. So who or what controls the time of death?
I think we could say we do, in the sense that we, the soul, decide our time of death. That might surprise people because we're so used to thinking death comes unbidden and kind of out of the blue, but in fact, some level of our being, our higher self, knows our time and our life plan and knows when we're through and knows when it's time to make an exit. It's implied in the writings of Alice Bailey that in the future, human beings will have a stronger sense of that timing of their higher nature, their soul. And I think that would be a wonderful thing to know how many days are left, how our days are numbered, it said. It would be nice to know, I would think, how much time we have left. I personally don't like the idea of a kind of unending, not unending, unpredictable future, but maybe other people take comfort in that. I don't know. In any case, death in most cases is a matter of the will of the soul. There are accidents that take people's lives, it's said in the Ageless Wisdom. Acts of natural disasters and war that get in the way of the soul's plan. But for most people, it's the will of the soul. And it has to do with cycles and with the great spiritual law of periodicity, which is a fancy way of referring to the cycles that govern incarnation and the relinquishing of the body through death and the return.
Yes, we mentioned earlier that death really occurs when the consciousness departs, and also when the life thread, there is the life that connects us with God, that thread is severed.
And that's in the heart, isn't it? The life thread, this is an important matter, is anchored in the heart, not in the brain.
Right.
A lot of there's this big debate over whether your brain dead means you're dead or whether your heart has died means you're dead.
Well, there are two threads there that have to be severed, and one is anchored in the brain, and which is operates the consciousness, and then the life thread, which is attached to the heart's center, not the physical heart, but more the heart's center in the etheric body. And then the soul, at the moment of death, severs this life thread, and that's when there is no coming back, because there's no more any attachment or any possible attachment to the, a reattachment to the physical body. So I think that there's other, you mentioned accidents, but also there is this whole question of suicide, too, and that takes the control out away from the soul. It takes it away from the soul, doesn't have, and the individual, the personality, interrupts that soul plan, I think. And that's one of the drawbacks, one of the bad things about suicide, is that it interrupts the plans the soul has for that particular life.
And then the soul has to go through all this fuss and bother of returning in a future incarnation to the same circumstances, because you pick up where you left off. And you don't make any progress by ending your life early.
No, in fact, you slow yourself up. You slow up your progress by suicide.
So you're saying that karma has to be dealt with?
Yeah. There's no evading it. And this whole problem of suicide is one that's so troublesome and causes so much suffering to the people that are left behind. I don't mean to imply in any way a harsh judgment of people who commit suicide. They must suffer awfully. Mm-hmm. It's just that there's no... What is this in Monopoly? There's no pass and go. You have to go through every step. You can't just jump for home.
Yeah.
And maybe in a future lifetime, those who have committed suicide develop a bit more strength or resiliency and work through the problems that defeated them in this incarnation. We always get another chance.
There is, of course, the whole question. I don't know if we need to get into this, but euthanasia at a very older age, or when someone is experiencing a horrendous disease and they know there's no longer any hope, then perhaps in that case a suicide or an assisted departure is okay.
Well, that's a modern problem. We never, I don't think in early times, talked about euthanasia. Death came early for most people. It's just that now medical science can prolong bodies long past the will of the soul, quite likely.
I would think that what I'm about to ask right now, that it may relate to the tape cassette that we're making available. The title of it is Near Death Experiences, but I'd like to see that tape. I think that tape could really lessen people's fears of death. The Alice Bailey writings do suggest that the fear of death will lessen in the not-too-distant future. What do you think she meant by that?
Well, it's implied in her writings that in within the next century there will be a greater connection between this life and the afterlife through developments in modern science. We don't know what she means, but there are some experiments underway with computers and radio waves that are seemingly resulting in contacts with other realms of life, but I know very little about it. I probably shouldn't even suggest it. I know so little. There was a comment that I heard a friend of mine pass on that I think relates to this question about the fear of death. This was a nurse at hospice, and he told her as her husband was dying that it had been his experience that we die the same way we lived, that we tend to pass out of incarnation in a way that is along the line of our temperament that we demonstrated while we lived. The fighters probably go through a terrible struggle when they die, and the people who are more accepting and easygoing and accommodating probably make a more gentle transition. So That relates to a comment by Leonardo da Vinci I came across. He said, "While I thought I was learning how to live, in fact, I was learning how to die. We prepare for our death by every day that we live on Earth. If we thought of it that way, we are in the midst of an endless process that is at every stage a creative process, because we're creating the future out of our reactions and our choices today, including our pending death. If we realize that, I think we would give a lot more care to the circumstances we're in at the moment."
I think that, yeah, the fear of death will probably begin to break down, break through this what they call the veil. You know, it will begin to sever and create rents in the veil that keep us from understanding what goes on the other side, and that life is much more vivid and alive, really, on the other side of the veil, in the other dimensions, than it is in this physical world. And we have a view of life and death that is kind of opposite from what it truly is in reality. I mean, we see this as a kind of a joyous place, but to the soul, it's kind of a prison.
Yeah, that reminds me of that comment in Alice Bailey that the real struggle, the real death, is when the soul comes into incarnation at birth, enters into a little body that weighs about 7 pounds and is so limited and handicapped in what it can do. That's death. Through it's an act of sacrifice for the soul to come into incarnation, an act of liberation to be freed from that body.
And once, and that's why to the soul, going through the death process is kind of a liberation and a joyous event.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that's why I cried for this first 6 months. There's a wonderful comment that maybe we could close with from the Bhagavad Gita that I think should assure us all. It says, "If it is certain as it is that all men have been born, so it's certain that all men must die. Therefore, why grieve and fret over the inevitable and unavoidable? Know thou that there never was a time when I, nor thou, nor any of these princes of earth was not, nor shall there ever come a time hereafter when any of us shall cease to be."
Well, that's well said. But one suggestion is that if you have this tape that we're talking about today, that we'll be happy to give to you if you make a donation to us. It's called Near Death Experiences. I think that will assuage our fears or your fears about death as well as mine. So send those donations to us, and we'll send you that tape. Send it to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's about all the time we have for our discussion today. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.